You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition, and yes, the polls are closed in New Hampshire. We should be getting the results in the next 30 minutes to an hour. It'll probably be all night, though, until we get the final results. I think for sure the winner, again, like in Iowa, will be three people, first and foremost. Who do you think? Bernie Sanders, for sure. And I think Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg. Together, I think they'll get 60% or more. Who will be the winner, though? I think it'll be Bernie Sanders. That's my prediction. But you see, I don't vote. I'm in Texas. Now, what I understand, I was listening to a caller from New Hampshire call in and say, well, you have to understand that if you're a registered Democrat, obviously you can vote in the Democratic primary. If you're a registered Republican, you can vote in the Republican primary. However, if you're an independent or you're not registered for either party, you can vote in either the Democrat or the Republican primary. And yes, Donald Trump was in New Hampshire, and I'm going to play some of his speech. This is the first speech he's given after being fully acquitted forever of the charges of the illegal, unconstitutional impeachment of the lying lunatic leftists in the House. They were fools to do it because it's really helped Donald Trump, and I warned him, but I really wanted them to impeach him because I knew they were going to fall on their faces, and they did. Now, they still think they were right, blah, 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 blah. Well, the American people don't, and I think the final judge and jury will be the American people, just like tonight. Whoever wins this in terms of delegates, and maybe I need to say that, what is this all about? You're going to need to get 50% plus one of the delegates, in this case of the Democratic Party delegates. Now, offhand, I don't know what the magic number is. I should. In the past, I have. First ballot, they don't have the superdelegates, and after that, they do. There have been some changes. Because really, last time, who got hurt? Bernie Sanders got hurt. It was somewhat rigged, because who won all the superdelegates, or nearly all of them? It was Hillary Clinton. Now, she's not running this year, but there's a problem. Let's assume I'm right, and there's a three-way split, and the Reds, the radical extremist Democrat socialists, pick up over 50%. I actually think they're going to get over 60%. What does that mean? Well, Joe Biden is coming in fourth or fifth. I understand today, I was listening to the news, they had a victory party planned, but that was rather premature. He left town for, I think, South Carolina. That's the next one he might have a chance at. I think Joe Biden's done. It's just a matter of time. Eventually, someone has to politely tell him, Joe, that was your last rodeo, and guess what? There's no way the Democratic Party is gonna nominate you. His biggest problem today is raising money. Actually, his bigger problem is if he really wanted to be president, he should have run in 2016. He didn't because he knew Hillary Clinton would have beat him. So he sat it out. Well, it just means that Joe Biden will never be president of the United States. Now, a lot of people in Washington know him, says he's a nice guy. Well, nice guys don't necessarily finish first. So I think the obituary for Joe Biden hasn't been written yet, but it's in the typewriter. I think many of them already have it. It's just, I think, oh, let's say in 30 to 60 days, it's definitely all over for him. So I'm not focusing much attention on him. But the question is, how are they going to settle this division of really the leftist vote, liberal slash leftist? Now, I don't equate them to being the same. Some people do. They're not. They never have been. But Bernie is clearly a leftist. So is Warren. And so is Buttigieg. They are clearly leftists. They're not liberal. They're socialists. Slash communists, however you want to call them. Progressives. I don't care what they call themselves. I'm never going to vote for them because I know history and socialism doesn't deliver the goods, but it does deliver a lot of people to prisons, and they have a tendency to kill their own. In other words, in the Soviet Union, to the gulag, to the prisons, or to the wall where they shot you, or your cell where they put a bullet in your head. That's where communism leads and has led and continues to this day, whether it's Russia or communist China. The American people don't want any part of that, and neither does the establishment of the Democratic Party. So even though the people, and I'm a big people person, might give him a win, or Warren, or Mayor Pete, I don't think either of the three will ultimately get the nomination. There's going to be somebody else. Now, many are saying that's Bloomberg. I've never been persuaded about him. He's obviously spending a lot of his own money. The Democratic Party, I think, out of desperation, said, well, he has the money. We'll let him be on the debate stage. I think if he were smart, he wouldn't be on a debate stage. Just follow your strategy. Run a strictly advertising campaign and see what happens. But eventually, I think they know they have to. I think he even knows he's going to have to participate in at least one, if not two or three debates. And he could get the nomination. I think all of them are going to fall short. I think the Democratic Party is so divided amongst various ideologies, political philosophies, that no one can get 50%. Now, let me make very, very clear, if Elizabeth Warren, for example, would throw her votes to Bernie, or Bernie do the same thing to her, or the same thing. Let's say what I'm saying is, if the three radical extremist Democrat socialists, the three Reds, decided the only way they can get the nomination is, okay, one will be the president, one will be the vice president, and let's say another one will be the Secretary of State, whatever cabinet position he wants. And that might very well be what ultimately happens. But that's on the assumption that the far left has the clout. I think what a number of people are commenting upon, okay, in Iowa and in New Hampshire and Nevada, yeah, a activist leftist coalition can get a lot of votes and win over their competition. I think they could. But when you get in a more representative, larger state, I don't think that's the situation at all. What I'm basically saying is, yeah, the leftist part of the Democratic Party has anywhere from 15% minimum to 30% tops, and that depends who's running. I don't think they have the majority at all. They're very much a minority, and I think a much smaller than minority than they believe or the American people believe. These are progressive socialist commies, and they usually in the past, in some big states, California being a good example, they can get a significant portion of their base out. But it's not 50%, and certainly not more than 50%. And these are very much activists, revolutionaries, however they view themselves in their mind. I view them as a clear and present danger. They're dangerous. And I think the establishment of the Democratic Party wants no part of them, because they are correctly reading, if they do get the nomination, it's going to do damage to Senate as well as House of Representative races. Now, many of them won't have a problem with it, because what I'm trying to get across is this Democratic Party is not the Democratic Party of my parents or grandparents or even my generation. It has very much been caught, taken over. They're really Marxist was Leninist. That's probably the more accurate description. Now, they will never say that. I'm not being naive here. But they are ideologues of the left. Everything's based on class. And they want nothing to do with a billionaire. So that's why I say it's not clear at all that Bloomberg could get the nomination. You always have to count votes. You always have to count, in this case, delegates. And they're all, every state is different. Every state has its own demographics. And traditionally, many of these Democrats, Hillary Clinton is the last one, but others, use their money on negative ads. So this is going to get quite, I won't say dirty, it's going to get quite vicious is probably the best word. And Bloomberg has, I won't say infinite money, but he can finance not only getting the nomination, but his election if he wants. But the first and most important step is he's going to have to get the nomination. I don't see him doing that. And I could be wrong. Now, I'm not studying this. I just don't take him seriously. And even if he gets it, I think the American people are not going to be attracted to him. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's short and Jewish. He's very much an authoritarian. He wants to tell you what you can do or not do, and the American people won't sit still for that. The American people are fed up with bigger and bigger government, that spending's out of control. They know this is burdening future generations. They don't like it. But the biggest deficit in the United States today is leadership. Leadership, leadership, leadership. And that's where my second story picks up. There have been a number of polls, and I wanted to look into. I said, okay, what are the American people truly concerned about? Another way to phrase that question is, what are going to be the issues of this presidential campaign? Well, Donald Trump is not going to give up on the illegal alien invasion. That will be front and center again of his campaign. However, this time he has to prove to the American people that he's built at least some of that wall. So immigration will be one of the top three or four issues. I have no doubts about it. And on that, that's still an incomplete. In my book, it's very much an incomplete. Donald Trump has not. His promise was to do two things. Build a big, beautiful wall with a door in it, 1,000 miles of it. He's nowhere close to building that. Now, we do periodically get conflicting numbers. Oh, I think there has been a border barrier. I prefer calling it a border barrier. I think there's anywhere from 100 miles now to maybe a couple of hundred, but he'll be lucky if he gets very close to 500 by the end of the year. And I recommend the best thing he could do, especially if he's close to 500 or anywhere near it, is when the Republican convention is going on, play videos of the entire border barrier throughout the convention from the moment they start until the moment they end. Have one of these drones with video cameras, record every single mile that they've built. Now, why do I zero in on immigration? There is, ideally, if you're a candidate, it doesn't matter with whether you're on the left or right, if you can find an issue where at least two-thirds, but preferably three-fourths of the American people are on your side, you need to take a position that agrees with the American people. That's obvious. Otherwise, you're going to lose. Now, if you pick two or three of these issues, you should win. Now, the only qualifier there is to win a presidential race, you need what I call mama. You need money, organization, message, momentum, and ambition. You got to have all of them. Having one is not enough. And just because you have a lot of money, and that's Bloomberg situation, money's no problem with him. And apparently he's done some research and he thinks the right message. We'll see. I have not watched, I've seen one or two of his ads. It didn't blow me away. But you can't look at those right now. There's no one really countering him. But once you're in the general election, people are going to challenge what he says in the ads. And he has started to attack Trump, and I'm sure Trump is going to go after him. But right now, why waste your ammunition on him? He doesn't have a delegate. Now, he could after Super Tuesday in March. We'll see about that. But with Biden out and at least three of the Reds possibilities, and I think together have over 50%, at least in these early races. It looks like the Democrats are going to have one of the reds as their standard bearer. The only exception is if Bloomberg can somehow, some way break through. So you need message, you need organization, but then you need momentum. And right now, most likely Bernie Sanders will have momentum, and probably Pete Buttigieg will have it. Warren, I think, is fading. The question is, can she make a comeback? I think she could, but she stumbled badly in terms of estimating the cost or underestimating the cost of Medicare for All. Medicare for All is a dream because it's too expensive, point one, but it also fails the common sense test. The American people that have, and most Americans do, have their health insurance coverage through their employer, they're not going to, especially after Obamacare, they're not going to be happy to give it up on a promise that Medicare is going to be good. Medicare, before you expand it, is in financial trouble. Social Security is, but Medicare even more. We have to borrow money to pay for Social Security and Medicare benefits. And it's only going to get worse as the baby boom generation retires, and people are going to have, as they get older, they're going to have health issues, and they will, and that's going to up the cost of Medicare. They're going to be running deficits, and they're going to be in financial trouble within roughly 10 years. And I mean big time trouble, where the only way they can save it is a combination of cutting the benefits significantly and raising the taxes to pay for it significantly. And that'll happen in the next 10 years. Could happen sooner. It could happen maybe a little later, but it's going to happen. That's the big driver of the financial mess is entitlement programs. And they're three. They're Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And they will be taking up, in 10 years, at least 70% of the entire budget. If you add defense and interest on the debt, you're over 85%. And the other 15% is for everything else. Now, I try to make the case, we need to set up, establish, stand up, organize all your independents out there that are causing mischief by voting in, let's say, in the Democratic primary and voting for someone you don't want. I don't like that, but I've heard some talk show hosts, that's what I'm going to do. I still think you should do that. But that does create mischief. There's no doubt that creates mischief, but in my mind, you're hurting yourself because let's say a lot of people took that advice, like there's a primary in Virginia I have in mind, but we have one today. Let's say the independents really would probably vote for Trump, but in this case, I'll vote for Bernie Sanders or one of his rivals, even though they would never vote for him in the general election, just to cause trouble, mischief, however you want to call it. Let's say you're like me. I'm a classical liberal, believe in limited government. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. So I think I'll have some fun and vote for Bernie Sanders. Well, what he's for is the opposite of what I'm for. It's like voting for your true enemy. See, I view Bernie Sanders as enemy of the people. You know, once you get this, what you need to remember, Hitler, that's Adolf Hitler. He won an election. He didn't get a majority. I'm talking in Germany in the 1930s. But that was the last election. And that's why they're dangerous. Now, Bernie Sanders, no. But, you know, listen to him. He doesn't instill confidence in me. I could never vote for him. If I could never vote for him for president, I shouldn't be voting for him in the primaries. But I've heard Republicans and independents say that's what they're going to do to the extent you have an open primary. And I can see where you need an open primary. Because today, on any given day, I would say at least 45% of the voters today are independent. They're not Republicans. They're not Democrats. Yes, some of them will lean one way or the other. It's a bad habit they haven't gotten over. But what's really happened is the American people are fully disgusted with both parties. They feel they've been lied to, misled, deceived, and big lie media is in on it. So the combination of I don't trust politicians, I don't care what party they are, and the big lie media only supports those candidates that they like. They have more or less said a plague on both parties. I'm out of here. In other words, I'll most likely stay home. Now, I don't think that's a good idea here, because if any of these reds truly get elected, it's going to hurt you. And I think you know that. That's why I don't believe you should be voting for candidates that in a general election you'd never vote for. And that's Bernie Sanders, that's Elizabeth Warren, and yes, it's also Pete Buttigieg. He's just as left as all three of them. The only difference, he's a little bit more articulate and friendly, but I don't think he's going anywhere. So I'm sure the people in New Hampshire have their favorites. They've been listening to him, and we'll find out probably in the next hour or two, assuming there's no great screw-ups like in Iowa. Now, enough said. I'll spend a little time on this tomorrow, but not much. And I think the big winner here is Trump, and I'm going to play some Donald Trump at his rallies. I haven't heard or played any of his rallies recently. So I said, you know, we're overdue. We really need to hear what Donald Trump is saying at his rallies. Now, I'm tempted to play, and I put it in the title, General Patton. Remember that famous movie with George C. Scott where he's addressing the troops and the background is a huge flag? And he says, Americans love a winner. And Americans love Trump. He's a winner. And they haven't gotten that through their head yet. They really have not gotten that through their head. That Trump is now perceived as a winner, a success. He's taken them all on and he's essentially won. And that's what's making the Trump haters or the never Trumpers out of their mind. Trump derangement syndrome. Well, I know I have the clip. Let's listen. Here it is. In New Hampshire at a rally.
With thousands of hardworking patriots who believe in God, family, and country. Thank you, thank you. And I'll tell you what, we have more in this arena, and I hate to say this to you, we have more than this outside of the arena trying to get in. So if you'd like to give up your seat or where you're standing, sorry we couldn't get you seats. But if you want to give it up, let them come in, you go out. Does anybody want to make that deal? I don't think so. But we have more in this arena and outside of this arena than all of the other candidates, meaning the Democrats, put together and multiplied times five.
See, that's true, and that's the problem of the Democratic Party.
And the fake news, these guys will never report that. They'll never report. They don't even like showing the crowd. They always show my face. They never show the crowd. But you know what? The people can hear the crowd. The people can hear the crowd. They know. That is not the sound of 200 people. One of their prime candidates today, they worked a big deal. They had exactly 104 people. And the fake news said, it was a nice crowd, very nice. If I had one empty seat here, one empty seat in this massive arena, they'd say, he didn't sell out. But you know what? We have never had an empty seat from the day your future first lady and I came down the escalator. Never. And we have the biggest arenas in the country. With your help on November 3rd, we are going to defeat the radical socialist Democrats. We are going to win New Hampshire in a landslide. This is a truly incredible time for America. We have the best economy we've ever had, the most prosperity. We have got the most prosperity we've ever had. By the way, we're going to keep it that way, too. It's okay. And we've just built the most powerful military anywhere in the world. It was totally depleted. Now it has all brand new jets. It's got brand new missiles and rockets and everything you can imagine. And if it hasn't been shipped yet, it's going to be shipped soon. On Tuesday, I delivered my address on the State of the Union. And I had somebody behind me who was mumbling terribly, He was mumbling. Very distracting.
The crowd is chanting, lock her up, lock her up.
It's very distracting. I'm speaking and a woman is mumbling terribly behind me, angry. There was a little anger back there. We're the ones should be angry, not them. We're the ones that should be angry. But we proudly declare that we are in the midst of the great American comeback. Our country is stronger today than ever before. And the day after my address, our good Republicans in the United States Senate voted to reject the outrageous partisan impeachment hoax and to issue a full, complete, and absolute total acquittal. And it wasn't even close. And I want to thank our Republican senators and our Republican House members. They were tremendous. In the House, we won 196-0, and then we got three Democrats. And in the Senate, other than Romney, we had... We got 52-0. 52-0. That's something. And in one case, we got 53-0, but I don't even count that, to be honest with you. The radical left's pathetic partisan crusade has completely failed and utterly backfired with 18 votes. Think of that, 18 votes to spare, with a lot of votes to spare. And also, very importantly, as of today, we're all in this together. We have the highest poll numbers that we have ever had. Thank you, Nancy, very much. Thank you. While the extreme left has been wasting America's time with this vile hoax, we've been killing terrorists, creating jobs, raising wages, enacting fair trade deals, securing our borders, and lifting up citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed. From our rural communities to our cities, we are expanding the blessings of America to all of our citizens. We added another 225,000 new jobs last month alone. Amazing. And I listened, I watched. I had all these experts, they would say, yes, I think 60,000. Another one said 101,000. Another one said 125. Another one was 118. And then the number came out, 225,000. Pretty good. We have destroyed the ISIS caliphate. We killed the founder and leader of ISIS. Al-Baghdadi is dead. Al-Baghdadi is dead. And we just took out the world's top terrorist, Qasem Soleimani, ending his evil reign of terror forever. The fact is, America is respected again. Been a long time. But as we keep on winning, Washington Democrats keep on losing their minds. They're crazy. That's why millions of registered Democrat voters are leaving their party to join our movement. They're joining our great Republican Party. Now, I can't tell you what's happening tomorrow. Because, you know, you have some pretty strange election laws here, right? Remember last time we won the primary tremendously? We should have won the election, but they had buses being shipped up from Massachusetts. Hundreds and hundreds of buses. And it was very, very close, even though they did. But this year, you know, we have a great governor, Governor Sununu, great governor, Chris. And now you get prosecuted if you do what they did. So it should be a lot different. But we have done great. This has been an incredible state for us. It's a state where the people are great. Just great people. And we hear that there could be, because you have crossovers in primaries, don't you? So I hear a lot of Republicans tomorrow will vote for the weakest candidate possible of the Democrats. Does that make sense? You people wouldn't do that. My only problem is I'm trying to figure out who is their weakest candidate. I think they're all weak, one another. We proudly welcome and embrace voters of all parties and political persuasions who want to join our mission, a very simple mission. Remember, make America great again. And that after we make it great again, which we already have, we've had 141 days where the stock markets have reached their all-time historical high. 141. Think of that. Out of 3 years, 104, and to me, I view it differently. Well, I look at your 401ks. I mean, who is doing well with their 401k? Up 90%, up 104%. Is there anybody doing badly with a 401k? I'd like to not talk to that person. Does anybody have a 401k where they're doing badly, please? No, don't put up your hand. I don't believe it. No, the 401ks, they're up 90%, 95%. I always tell the story. People come up to me, they say, I want to thank you. My wife thinks I'm a total loser, sir. She thinks I am the worst person with money, with financial. She thinks I'm just horrible in the last 3 years. I'm up 94%, sir. She thinks I'm a total genius when it comes to finance. She loves me again. She didn't love me before, sir. She loves me again. That tells you something about money, doesn't it? That's tough. The first step to victory in November is tomorrow. Go send a message that Republicans, and you can vote for the weakest candidate if you want, don't worry about it. I don't really think we actually have a candidate against us. That Republicans are energized, that we're united, and that 9 months from now, we are going to take back the House of Representatives, we are going to hold the Senate, and we are going to keep the White House.
I'm going to skip ahead.
For decades, politicians campaigned across this state promising to replace NAFTA. They lied. They never did it. They never even tried to do it. They wouldn't have been able to anyway. It wasn't easy, I will tell you that. But then they got elected and they did absolutely nothing. But I'm not like those other politicians. I keep my promises. We took care of it. We took care of it. Last month, we ended the NAFTA. You saw last month, bing, bye-bye. I say Donald J. Trump, bye-bye, NAFTA. We ended the NAFTA catastrophe, and I signed the brand-new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement into law. That's going to be great for our manufacturers, our farmers, great for everybody, great for our workers. The USMCA will bring jobs back to New Hampshire, right where they belong. They should have never left in the first place. Probably the number one reason I ran for office. I'm one for one. I have friends, some of these great senators. See, look at Lindsey over there. Look at Rand. These great senators. Sir, I've run 5 times and I've won 3. Another senator said, sir, I've won 7 times, sir. Southern senator. I've won 7 times, sir. I've won 5 of those damn contests. I said, Senator, I ran once and I won just once. And we're going to run twice, and that's going to be it. Although they think we're going to run much more than that. You know that. It scares the hell out of the fake news, I will tell you. They can't take a joke. I also took the strongest ever action to confront China's massive theft of American jobs. And our strategy worked. massive tariff, and tariff money is pouring in and has poured in by the billions and billions. We never took in 10 cents from China. They ripped us so much, you wouldn't believe it. Now they respect us again. Last month, we signed a groundbreaking trade agreement with China that will defeat so many of our opponents. The money that's pouring in, people don't even believe it. And by the way, the virus, they're working hard. Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away. I hope that's true. But we're doing great in our country. China, I spoke with President Xi, and they're working very, very hard. And I think it's going to all work out fine. Rough stuff, I tell you, rough stuff. But I think it's going to work out good. We only have 11 cases, and they're all getting better. But our trade agreement with China will defend our workers, protect our intellectual property, and substantially boost exports of American-made goods. Isn't that nice? After years of building up other countries, we are finally rebuilding our country. On no issue have Washington Democrats more thoroughly sold out the American people than a thing called immigration, right? Before I came into office, the far left's policy of open borders allowed deadly drugs to flow freely into our country, and that's what they want. I see them campaigning right down the street. It's really boring to watch, but I try and watch. No, I have an obligation to watch. Really boring stuff. But they want open borders. They want thousands and thousands of people to pour into our country, many of whom are not exactly what we're looking for, okay?
Now, I've recommended before, and I'm waiting to see, maybe in the next couple of sentences he'll do it, and he should do it. He's missing a clear bet. Open borders has different meanings, different people. What it really means is giving citizenship to people that have broken into our country. They didn't present their papers at a inspection point, which is the proper way to do. If you travel abroad, once you get in a country, they're going to inspect or look at your passport. If you need a visa, you got to show the visa, and they're going to ask you, why are you here? I'm on a vacation, I'm on business, whatever. Well, the illegal aliens, and that is the correct terminology, just look it up, came here illegally. They didn't present their papers. Now, initially, that's just a misdemeanor. I say just, but they're breaking into their country. But when they, and they're primarily here to get a job. Some are here to sell drugs. And I always say immigration is a drug problem, but first and foremost, it's a employment or jobs issue because they work here. They work in Dallas. They work across the country. How can they do it? They do it by getting fraudulent documents. In other words, documents that they can use. So when the employer asks them, can I see a copy of your Social Security card or your driver's license? They have something that they can put in a file. Most of them know it's probably fraudulent, but they're not going to check. They're not going to be a policeman. And that's a felony. The fact that they have the fraudulent documents and are using them this way, and then every time they're working without having legal status, that's another felony. It's a regular crime wave. And most of these people have been here not for months, but for years. Every time they go to work, they're committing another crime. And it goes on and on and on because neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party secure the borders. So open borders means citizenship. And the Democratic Party, about 10 years ago, made a very conscious decision because for many, many decades, they were aligned with the unions to try to stop the illegal alien invasion. No more. They literally have betrayed, sold out the American people. They're more concerned about illegal aliens getting citizenship. Now, you might say, well, why would they do that? Because once they get citizenship, they then can vote legally. And the calculation, rather cynical calculation, by the Democratic Party is if they get citizenship, they'll get at least minimum of 2 out of 3 will vote Democrat. And for many, many years, they look at this as a way to stay in power, get power and stay in power. And it's not 11 million. That's the number you hear over and over. Oh, they're just 11 million. No, they're not. They're anywhere from 30 to 60 million. I think it's somewhere in between. I don't know. I don't have the resources of the United States government. I think the United States government does know how many are here. I'm trying to recall the number, but what struck me is the population of the United States, excluding illegal aliens, is about 330 million. I know this is the year of the census, and we'll get a better idea. But you have, in my mind, the minimum number that you have, I mean, is 30 million. And I think Trump said either 350 or 360 million in one of the speeches or in response to a question, which tells me he's adding tens of millions of illegal aliens to that figure. Now, there are over 50 million foreign-born, and it's the highest in U.S. history, that came here legally, the highest percent. But in addition to that, you have to add the illegal aliens. And now, yes, some of them go back to their country of origin. Most don't. Most do not return. Some will visit. The majority of the illegal aliens come from Mexico and Central America. They come from around the world, but it's primarily Central America and Mexico, and this has been going on since the last time we had fundamental immigration reform and gave amnesty. Amnesty is just giving citizenship. We forgave the fact that they broke the law for decades, and we were expecting only a million to take advantage of it. Well, a total of 2.7 million illegal aliens under Reagan, it was a bipartisan bill, were given citizenship. That is what the Democratic Party wants to do, and truth be known, that's what the Republican Party wants to do. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you and me, American citizens, have been betrayed by the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party. Neither of them has truly secured the border, and that's why Donald Trump got elected. Now, there are other issues that he had strong positions on, but this is the issue that distinguished him, differentiated him from all the Republicans that were running against him as well as the Democrats. So he's going to use this issue again. It's a winner for him.
I mean, murderers, rapists, and some other things. They're going to be poisoning our children with drugs, including right here in New Hampshire. And you have one of the biggest drug problems in the country. And we brought it down 18%. But we have to do better. 18%. Washington Democrats put the needs of illegal immigrants before the well-being of American citizens. They want to let anyone into our country from all around the world. Just come on in, folks. We're going to give you free health care. We're going to give you free education. We're going to give you more than our vets are getting. We're going to give you, every family will get a free Rolls Royce. You know, I said that, Matt. I said that to them. And some of the fake news picked it up. And they said, President Trump said every family coming into our country illegally gets a brand new free Rolls Royce. He lied. They gave me a Pinocchio. They don't get it, Matt, do they, Matt? Actually, they get it better than we understand. They get it very well. They get it. They know what's happening. And the wall is being built, I will tell you. The wall is being built. And, you know, they went after us on, everybody knows the wall is going up. So what's happening, you know, you do know who's paying for the wall, don't you? Right. Redemption from illegal aliens that are coming in. The redemption money is paying for the wall. They're so sad to hear that because they're so, okay, finally. They go, you have to understand, an entire party is fighting. They'll give me anything I want. Our military, we've rebuilt it. 2.2, it's really $2.5 trillion over a period of 3 years. They give me anything, but not 10 cents for the wall. They said, we like drones. Well, drones don't keep people out. Drones are wonderful. They fly around, take pictures. We're going to give you a drone. No good. So we now have built over 100 miles of wall. And when we have that wall built, you have to see what happens to the illegal aliens that don't come in. I say the illegal, they can't come in. They don't come in. So we are up to over 100, substantially more than 100 miles of wall, and we'll have close to 500 miles of wall in the very near future. And by the way, you have to see, you wouldn't believe it,
You have to see what happens when that wall goes up. You have to see the numbers change like magic. They change like magic. It's called, you know, you ever hear the thing, you know, with all the modern technology, all of the new computers, the new genius, the new everything, cyber this, cyber that. Two things never change, right? A wheel and a wall. A wheel and a wall. They're going to have a lot of brilliant people working over the years. They're never going to replace the wheel, and they're never going to replace the wall. And it's a high wall. Illegal immigrants coming into our country illegally. Very few of them are getting in right now. You know, Mexico's been terrific. We have 27,000 Mexican soldiers on our border, and the numbers went down 87% from this year and this time last year. And for the amount of money Washington Democrats want to spend supporting illegal immigrants, we could rebuild the cities in America. We could rebuild our cities. But, you know, I have something, because people were screaming to me for the last four or five rallies. Read the snake, the snake. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? She knows. She's been standing outside for 4 days, no wonder. And you look good, I'll tell you what. 4 days outside in the rain and snow. Look at these front row people. These are warriors. They're warriors, too, like my congressman and senator. So this is because we mentioned, at least I made minor changes. They mentioned illegal immigration. This is about immigration. This was a song from the 1950s, Al Green. And they mentioned, I have little changes to it, that's okay. But they mentioned illegal immigration, right? And I used to do this a lot, and people couldn't get enough of it, to be honest with you. And I haven't done it for a while. And I thought I'd do it tonight because you're on the eve of giving us an opponent, and all of these people want open borders. They want open borders. And we don't want open borders. We want very strong closed borders. And we want people to come into our country, but they want to come in through merit, and we want them to come in legally, right? Right? Through merit and legally.
See, he's missing a bet, and it's annoying because spell it out. Yes, I know the majority of people understand this. You don't reward criminal behavior when people break into your country by giving them citizenship, and that's exactly what the Democratic Party wants to do. And why do they want to do it? Because they want to get reelected, because when 20, 30, 40, whatever million number it is, at least two-thirds, if not three-fourths, will vote for a Democratic candidate. So spell it out. Because I'll tell you something, if you would just make this, in my mind, minor change, but very important change, he'll win by a landslide. You got to remind people. Repeat it. Open borders is citizenship for all the 30 to 60 million illegal aliens that are here. That's what the Democratic Party wants. They don't care about you anymore. You've been betrayed by the Democratic Party. They're more concerned about getting power and keeping power. Please, Mr. President, sharpen your message.
Right? So we'll do this quickly. This is illegal immigration. It's called, listen to how quiet it is. Now watch how quiet it gets. It gets so quiet. But this is all about, I love you too. There was a guy that said that, but I love him too. I love everybody. Ready? So important, illegal immigration. On her way to work one morning, down the path, along the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor, half-frozen snake. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. Poor thing, she cried. I'll take you in, and I'll take care of you. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. She wrapped him up all cozy in a comforter of silk and laid him by her fireside with some honey and some milk. She hurried home from work that night, and as soon as she arrived, she found that pretty snake she'd taken in had been fully, fully revived. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed that vicious snake. She clutched him to her bosom. You're so beautiful, she cried. But if I hadn't brought you in by now, you truly would have died. She stroked his pretty skin again and kissed him and held him tight. But instead of saying thank you, the snake gave her a vicious bite. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. I saved you, cried the woman, and you've bitten me. But why? You know your bite is poisonous, and now I'm going to die. Shut up, silly woman, said the reptile with a grin. You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in. Gotta come in legally and through merit. Under my administration, we're fully taking care of our own citizens first, including millions of African American and Hispanic Americans who are entitled to a government that protects their families and their communities. In this region of the country alone, last year, ICE officers, we love our ICE officers. The Democrats don't like them. ICE officers are the toughest human beings, and they love the country as much as anybody in this room. Last year alone, they arrested over 2,000 criminal aliens charged or convicted of dangerous offenses, including robbery, rape, and murder. Over 2,000 accused of murder. Yet left-wing politicians support sanctuary cities that release criminal aliens directly into the American community. One of my guests at the State of the Union was American citizen Jody Jones. I introduced him that night. His beloved brother, Rocky, was murdered by a criminal alien in California, shot him 8 times at close range, wouldn't stop. Rocky's killer had been previously arrested many, many times, but under California's totally insane and outrageous sanctuary law, authorities were ordered to set him free. Tragically, left-wing politicians in New Hampshire are trying to replicate California's disastrous policies. Last year, the Democrat-controlled New Hampshire House blocked legislation that would have banned sanctuary cities in your state. And by the way, you have a great governor, Chris Sununu. He's on top of it. And his father's a great guy. His father didn't like me too much a few years ago. Once I won, I'm telling you, he was so good. He was as good. He fought like hell for us, all of us. It's a great family, and Chris is doing a fantastic job. If you want to shut down sanctuary cities, if you want to protect your family and your loved ones, you must vote Republican in 2020, November. And thanks to our tireless efforts to secure the border, we have reduced illegal border crossings 8 straight months in a row. Illegal crossings are down now at record numbers, and we've ended catch and release. You know what catch and release is? You catch an illegal alien by law. You then take his name and address. They don't have addresses. What's your address? What? They don't have addresses. They come into the country. They don't have addresses. So you take his name, and then you have to release him into the country. And you say, we'll see you in 4 years for your court case. We never see him. They never come back. We have seized record amounts of drugs. We have deported record numbers of gang members, MS-13 by the thousands. And we have done more to secure the border of our country than any administration in history. Remember this. Washington Democrats have never been more extreme. Taking their cues from Crazy Bernie, 132 congressional Democrats have signed up for Bernie's healthcare takeover that would strip 180 million Americans of their very, very coveted private coverage. The Democrat Party wants to run your health care, but they can't even run a caucus in Iowa. By the way, it's a week. You know, I turned on at 7 o'clock. I wanted to see who won. They said, there's a little problem. Little did they know. Does anybody, it's now a week, does anybody know who won Iowa? I don't know. Maybe Rand or Lindsay. Rand, does anybody know who won Iowa? Lindsay, you're a total pro. Nobody knows. He said nobody. Flip a coin. They're going to run your health care. Unbelievable. Nobody knows who won. Actually, I think they're trying to take it away from Bernie again. I think Bernie came in second. Can you believe it? They're doing it to you again, Bernie. They're doing it to you again. We're saving your health care while the socialist Democrats are trying to take away your health care. We are making health care better and much, much cheaper. You've seen what we did. We are protecting people with pre-existing conditions, and we always will. The Republican Party always will. Always will. And we got rid of the most unpopular thing in the healthcare world, the individual mandate. We had to pay a fortune not to pay a fortune. You know, you paid a fortune not to pay a fortune for bad healthcare. And we got rid of it. Saved a lot of money for a lot of people. And we're stopping surprise medical bills and making everything transparent. That's bigger than healthcare transparency. And that'll go, unfortunately, into effect right around the election time. It would be nice if we could get it earlier, but it's all done. It's all signed. Because when providers are required to show you what the prices are, those prices are going to come tumbling down. Blood tests, as an example. One hospital has them for $53. Another hospital, the same test, $2,415, same exact test. And it may even be better, who knows. We're approving more generic drugs than ever before at any time in the history of our country. That's bringing prices down. We are defending your right to keep the doctor and to keep your plan. Remember, President Obama, you can keep your plan. You can keep 28 times. You can keep your doctor. That didn't turn out very good. We should impeach him for that. Why are we impeaching him? 28 times you can keep your doctor. We should impeach President Obama. Democrats are now the party of high taxes, high crime, open borders, late-term abortion, socialism, and blatant corruption. The Republican Party is the party of the American worker, the American family, the American dream, and the late, great Abraham Lincoln, right? Abraham Lincoln. Republicans are fighting for citizens from every background, every community, and every walk of life. We are the party of boundless optimism, excitement, energy, and enthusiasm. We love people. We are asking all Americans to join our incredible movement. People are signing up left and right. But if you want to vote for a weak candidate tomorrow, go ahead. Pick one. Pick the weakest one you think. I don't know who it is. We are a big party with big ideas for the future. Very big. We've become a big party and an open-minded party. And we're the party that people like. We're the hot party. And we're the party with all the enthusiasm. We are fighting for school choice because no parent should ever be forced to send their child to a failing government school. We passed criminal justice reform to give former prisoners a second chance at life. Most incredible thing that's happened. Prisoners never really had a shot. They'd get out, they couldn't get a job no matter what they did, and they'd go back. They'd go back to their ways. They had no, I mean, in many cases, I guess they had no choice. It was a disaster. Now they're getting out, and because our economy is so good, and because of what we've done with criminal justice reform and other things like opportunity zones, etc., they're getting jobs, and employers are loving them. They're doing great. They're doing great. They are doing great. First time ever. They're not going back. To uphold the rule of law, we have confirmed 191 federal judges who will interpret the Constitution as written. And as you know, we've also confirmed two great new Supreme Court justices. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rand. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you. We have invested $2.2 trillion to rebuild the United States military, as I said, and I love saying it, because we are funding for New Hampshire the New Hampshire Army National Guard Readiness Centers, just a few miles from here, in Pembroke and in Concord. Concord! I love Concord. I love Concord. Oh, Concord. You know how famous Concord is? Concord. That's the same Concord that we read about all the time, right? Concord. I love Concord. I recognized Israel's true capital and opened the American Embassy in Jerusalem. And we recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Been trying to do that for 52 years. We got it done. And for years, you watched as your politicians they went out. I'd like to apologize for the behavior of the United States. No, we don't apologize anymore. We don't apologize. Now you have a president who is standing up for America, and we are standing up for the great people of New Hampshire. Thank you. At stake in our present battle is the survival, actually, of our nation. If you want your children to inherit the blessings that generations of Americans have fought and died for to secure, then we must devote everything we have toward victory. November 3rd, 2020. Only this way can we save the America we love and drain the Washington swamp once and for all. And I will tell you, that swamp is much worse than I thought when I was out here innocently campaigning. Let's drain the swamp. That swamp is a lot worse than anybody ever thought. That swamp is a dirty swamp.
Well, I'm going to interrupt there. It's clear that Donald Trump is going to make health care, education, immigration centerpieces of his 2020 campaign. But notice what he's not talking about. He's not talking about what's filling that swamp. Government spending is out of control. The dam is busted. Donald Trump is not addressing the fact that spending by the federal government every year to pay the bills, they have to borrow over $1,000 billion, $1 trillion. And it's just going to get worse, worse, and worse. Eventually, there'll be a day of reckoning. It will most likely be after Donald Trump is out of office in 2025. Which brings me to the problem of Washington, D.C. You have two big government parties. They're big spending parties. The biggest deficit in Washington, D.C. is leadership, and it includes leadership from Donald Trump. He's not leading on this, folks. He is not leading on this. And the reason is very simple. He doesn't want to take it on. He does not want to take it on. He's afraid of it, and he is afraid of it. Can't touch Social Security. Can't touch entitlements. Well, what's the biggest driver of these deficits? It's the entitlement programs. There's no secret about this. If you add Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid together, it's over 60% of the budget. Pretty soon it'll be over 70%. You add defense and you're somewhere about 85, 86%. And the rest is all the rest of government spending. The biggest drivers that ultimately are going to squeeze out everything are those three programs. There's no leadership coming out of the White House or Donald Trump or the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. They're both big government parties, and they can't tell you the truth, and they certainly don't lead on it. That said, what are the American people concerned about? They are concerned about spending being out of control, but they know it's up to the representatives, the politicians that they elect to deal with it, and they're not dealing with it. Neither Democrats just want to make it several orders of magnitude worse, and truth be known, so do the Republicans. They're big government parties. And yes, Donald Trump was an outsider, but in my mind, he's a transition figure. He's not going to fundamentally change anything, and he's not. Will he get reelected? He will get reelected, because why? And I have a lot of information. I don't have time. I got to wrap it up. The American people are concerned about pocketbook issues. They want a growing economy, and Trump is delivering. They want jobs. Trump is delivering. But he's not going to be able to grow the economy at 4, 5, 6% for the simple reason government spending has not been cut. The budgets have not been balanced, and I challenge the Republican Party and the Trump administration to try to balance the budget 1 year before in the next five. He won't be able to do it. And unless you throw out the Democrats, nothing's going to happen. It's gridlock. And we're running out of time. We're running out of alternatives. And eventually, when you add all the government spending from entitlements, the dramatic increases in interest, add defense, and there's nothing left. And eventually, it'll squeeze out everything. So Trump has a winning hand. He is addressing many of the issues that the American people are concerned about. And that's why he'll win. The lying lunatic left, whoever they pick, just want to make it worse, want to bankrupt the United States even faster by more entitlement programs, such as free college education. And Medicare for All is a bad idea, but that's what they're running on. And the Green New Deal, which I don't have time to talk about, the American people don't care about it. Climate change is not an existential threat. The real threat to the American people is their own government and politicians. With that, I'll leave it there. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.